wearing sandals. They walked these dirty, filthy streets, these dirt streets. And so when you entered into someone's home, particularly a guest, they had a servant that was designated to wash people's feet. It was the lowest job on the totem pole. No one wanted it. Some even think in that context that if it was a Jewish home, they would not even hire a Jewish slave to perform this, that they would bring in a Gentile to do it. And so again, this is the most menial task. No disciples are volunteering for this. And here's the one who possesses supreme authority, humbly serving his followers, washing their dirty, filthy feet. What Jesus does is he puts on display what he's been teaching his followers, namely that in God's economy, greatness comes not through promotion, greatness comes through serving. Man, we are so prone to seek greatness through our own self-promotion, through our own gain. Look at me, our culture says. Look how great I am. And our pride pushes us to seek greatness through our own means, through our own promotion. So a book a few years ago that came out, it was an extremely popular book, and it was called The Secret. And so this popular book, The Secret, basically said this: you are the center of the universe, and you can attract good things to yourself with your thoughts. Now, it was shocked me how many Christians kind of bought into The Secret, because this is what The Secret's teaching. The universe exists to serve you. And here's what the whole secret was of the book. The secret is you can attract greatness to yourself. If you think the right thoughts, if you do the right things, you can attract greatness to yourself. Let me give you the footnotes of The Secret. Here it is. You are your own God, so go serve yourself. That's basically what the whole entire book said. And Jesus says and models the exact opposite. Jesus says the secret to greatness is serving. And so he dons a towel and he kneels before his followers and he washes their filthy feet to demonstrate it. Jesus says if you want to be first, then you be last. You be a servant. That in God's economy, last is the true first. That kingdom living is upside down living. In a world that says greatness comes through my own self-promotion, in God's kingdom, greatness comes not through self-promotion. Greatness comes not by taking advantage of my position of authority and power. Greatness comes by serving, by taking up my towel and serving those around me. What do we do? Man, that's such a challenging question to me. What do we do when we hold the position of power? What do we do in those moments where we're the person of power in the room? What do we do when we have the position of authority in my home, at work, in my relationships? What do we do when we have the one up on the people around us, particularly if they have mistreated us somehow? Particularly if we've been betrayed by them. What do we do when we are in the position of power and authority? So there's a story that's told back in the early years of our nation of one day there was this rider on horseback that came across this squad of soldiers. And these soldiers were trying to move this heavy piece of timber out of the road. And there was a corporal who was standing by giving the, you know, orders, heave and lift and all those things. But the piece of timber was just too heavy for the squad. And so this quiet man rides up on a horse and looks at the corporal and says, "Why don't you help them?" And the corporal says, "Me? Because I'm a corporal, sir." And so the stranger dismounts the horse, takes his place along the soldiers, and says, "All together, boys, heave." And they move this big piece of timber out of the way. Stranger gets back on his horse and addresses the corporal. "Corporal, the next time you have a piece of timber for your men to handle, send for me, the commander-in-chief, the horseman, George Washington." What do you do in your position of authority and power, right? Am I going to use it to my advantage? Am I going to use it to trample on the people around me? You're going to get what's coming to you now. What do I do when I have the ball in my court, when I'm in the position to make the decision, when I'm in the position to lash back or respond or react, when I'm in the position, when I'm the one that holds the cards, what do I do in those moments? So look at Peter's response to Jesus. We have to love Peter. So Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. He comes to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answers him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Well, if that's the case, like, not my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him." That's why I said, not all of you are clean. So Jesus comes to Peter, the brash disciple. And Peter's response is, "You're not washing my feet." And Jesus says, "Well, that's fine, Pete. But if you refuse, you have no part of me." Now, Jesus seems to be speaking here of a kind of a spiritual cleansing. So let me make the connection here. True humility begins with the recognition of my spiritual need for cleansing. Jesus makes the connection here. He says, look, those that are a part of me have been spiritually cleansed. By the way, not all of you, he says, not all of you are clean. What's he talking about? He's talking about Judas, who hasn't been spiritually cleansed. But Jesus says true humility begins with this spiritual cleansing. Following Jesus begins with humbling our own sinful hearts before him. When it comes to spiritual cleansing, receiving forgiveness precedes giving in our own spiritual journey. True and pure serving flows out of a heart that has been regenerated by the gospel. It is a heart of gratitude and humility. So what that means is that pride stands in the way of us humbling ourselves before Jesus. That pride pushes us toward believing that what we've done is enough. Pride pushes us toward, "Well, I'm okay because look at all the good things I've done." Pride pushes us toward believing that somehow our moral efforts, our moral attempts have somehow gained God's favor. Pride pushes us in the direction of trusting in ourselves. That's what Peter's doing here before Jesus. "You're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus' response is, like, spiritual cleansing begins with a humbling of our hearts, repentance. Think about the story of Jesus. Within the gospel is the story of the Son of God, who Paul says did what? Humbled himself and became a servant. And was obedient unto death, this humiliating death on a cross. And the gospel reminds us that exaltation comes through humiliation. The gospel invites us to die to ourselves, to humble ourselves before Jesus, that is the path to glory. Not through somehow self-promotion or self-gain or somehow my morals outweigh my bad and I'm a good guy. No, the path to glory in God's economy is by humbling ourselves before Christ, by living with this repentant heart before Jesus. That's where spiritual cleansing takes place. Jump in verse 12. "And when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garment and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You are right, for so I am.'" Again, supreme authority. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So Jesus begins this kind of final discourse by teaching his followers, listen to this, our ultimate joy is not found in the promotion of ourselves, but in serving others. And Jesus says, I'm not just talking about a principle here. I'm not talking about just knowing that in your head. I'm talking about doing it, living it. Blessed are those who do these things. The word blessed here, we love to throw around the word blessed sometimes. This final phrase, blessed are you if you do them. This word blessed comes from the original word that means a deep-seated gladness, a deep-seated joy, a deep-seated fulfillment. So you hear what Jesus is saying here? Our ultimate joy is found where? In serving. Our ultimate joy, the deep-seated gladness that we are so searching for and this deep-seated fulfillment, Jesus says, is ultimately found when we put ourselves to the side and we begin to serve others. Now, I want to tell you, in a world where the inclination is to seek to obtain greatness through my own self-promotion, we have to choose to go low. We have to gladly go low. We have to serve. So there's this phrase that got thrown around in the media recently, and a couple of political figures who are at odds with each other. There's this phrase that was used that said this: when others go low, we choose to go high. Now, based on kind of whichever part of the aisle you stand on, you can kind of cast stones at the other side to say, well, you're not doing it, and you're not doing it, and that's kind of our tendency. But there's this phrase that was thrown around a lot. When others go low, we choose to go high. Here's what Jesus says. Instead of going high, instead of seeking promotion, we go low. We choose, who are followers of Jesus, to go low. We choose to serve. We choose to get on our knees and wash the feet of the people around us. So the challenging question for me this week and for us is like, Devin, whose feet are you washing? I'm not talking about like physically getting on my knees and washing Ash's feet or whoever, because that's just gross. I'm just kidding. If it required that, right? The idea here is attitude. Jesus is not saying like, all right, have a foot washing service at church. Anybody grow up in a foot washing church? There's some of those out there, dude. Like, I'm not going to be a part of that group. But the principle's awesome, right? We're going to serve each other. We're going to wash feet. Jesus is not saying like, peel back the socks and get the feet out and hope they don't have cankers or whatever. Like, that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is you should have an attitude of going low. And so the question for us is, whose feet am I washing? Who am I serving in my life right now? And I want to tell you, if you can't think of specifics in your heart and mind in your life right now of places you're serving, we're missing this. If you can't drill down and say, here's where I'm serving and how I'm serving, next level, people who might just betray me. I don't know about you, but my heart is like, yeah, I'm willing to serve the people that I like, the people that are going to give me something back. Jesus is washing the feet of the guy that's getting ready to kiss him in the garden and say, this is him, take him away. I love this statement. Here's why this happens. Spiritually cleansed, let's bring all these into this statement. Spiritually cleansed people, you know what they do? They wash dirty feet. Spiritually cleansed people, people who have been regenerated, people, the blood of Jesus has been applied to their sinful hearts and lives. Spiritually cleansed people wash dirty feet. People who have been washed in the blood of Jesus seek to serve. We represent him, the suffering servant. Followers, representatives of Jesus, we recognize our unshakable standing before God. I'm a spiritually cleansed person. My heart has been washed. My heart has been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That's my status. No one can change that. I'm a spiritually cleansed person. No one can change my standing before God. And so I serve, not because of how great we are, because we have humbled ourselves before him, and Jesus has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And the response of that gospel understanding is that we seek to serve. Spiritually cleansed people get their hands dirty. You know why? Because my hands were dirty, and Jesus washed them clean. And my response to that is to begin to seek to serve other people. As Jesus taught, as Jesus modeled, the path of joy and exaltation for those who are cleansed is through humble service. So I invite you today. I invite you to go low today. Dads, moms, students, business owners, employers, employees, managers, athletes, A students, C students, city kids, workers, small group leaders, grandparents, brothers, sisters, if you're a follower of Jesus, I invite you to go low. We go low to represent Jesus, to know his joy, and because you are completely clean in him, we go low. There's no task too low. You know what that means? It means we have to get our eyes off of us, doesn't it? Our needs, our wants, our desires, and we have to begin to look around us. Whose feet am I washing? Whose feet am I washing? Who am I serving? You see, here's the reality for followers of Jesus. There is a world of people around you with dirty feet. Spiritually dirty feet. They're all around us, and we have to take our eyes off of us, and we have to don our towels, and we go serve them, even our enemies. You know why? Because that's what cleansed people do. They wash dirty feet. You know why? It's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus did. When he was at his place of highest authority, supreme power, when he knew where he was from, he's the Son of God, when he knew where he was going, that he was going to be vindicated after all this has happened, that his road to glorification came through humiliation, when Jesus knew in the end who wins, when Jesus knows that he will conquer death, when Jesus knows where he's from, when Jesus knows where he's going, when Jesus knew that he had been given supreme authority, what did he do? He rose up from supper. He rose up from supper. He put on a towel and poured water in a basin and began to wash their feet. Why? Jesus rose from supper as he had previously arisen from his throne of glory. Jesus laid aside his garments just as he had laid aside his glory to enter the world. Jesus girded himself with a towel just as he girded himself with the form of a servant, Paul said. Jesus poured water into a basin just as he was about to pour out his blood. Jesus washed the dirt from the feet of the disciples just as his blood would wash away the sin of our filthy hearts. Jesus finished and resumed his place at the table just as, the Hebrew writer says, he had made purification for our sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus was simply living out who he was. He was the incarnate Son of God that laid aside his glory to provide for us. And in this moment, he demonstrates what it means. He demonstrates that cleansed people wash dirty feet. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. You hear me, City Church? Having loved his own, he loves us to the end. You know what that means? Go low, City Church. Go low. In a world around us that says, here's the path to greatness, Jesus says, you want to be great? Put on the towel. Pour the water. Wash the feet. Go low. I invite you to go low because that's what he did, so that we might have life, so that we might be spiritually cleansed to wash dirty sins.